This episode of Behind Enemy Lines is brought to you by Go Right Solutions. Sometimes life just doesn't go right. The last thing you need is what comes out of thine chunky cheeks to go wrong too. Go Right Solutions is the perfect solution for a constipated Carl struggling to pass a brick from his bum. Go Right Solutions is a semi-safe and completely unnatural way to clear what has been clogged. Go Right Solutions shares its genetic makeup with the majority of pre-workout products on the market, guaranteeing you a relieving deuce every doggone time. Don't wait. Use our code ENEMYLINES to get 1% off your purchase. That's right, 1%. We can't even get a good discount on a fake product. Go Right Solutions. Just buy it! Welcome in to this week's episode of Behind Enemy Lines. I'm your host, Logan Fisher, and for the first week, and definitely not the last week, I am joined by Travis Hudson and Ryan Paris to talk some Chiefs football. How's it going, boys?
It's going great.
It's a good week.
Yes.
Can't complain.
Football is back. Week two is in the books, and the Kansas City Chiefs went on the road to Pittsburgh, where I don't think they'd won since, did you guys see the stat? 1986? Yeah, yep. 1986, and come out with the win. Patrick Mahomes, 23 of 28, 6 touchdowns, more touchdowns than incompletions.
That's right.
And I will throw it to one of you because I know you're about to pee your pants in excitement to talk about this. Who's first?
Ryan, I'll let you go first.
All right. Well, I would say like the main thing just about the Chiefs team in general, like kind of going back to the game, but the main thing about the Chiefs team in general, we are first in DVOA for offense and special teams. Uh-oh. And we are 32nd in DVOA for defense.
Oh. Quite the contrast there.
That is about perfect for explaining what the Chiefs team is going to be like. Every game is going to be a shootout. And if you like offense, you're going to like the Chiefs.
Go watch Texas Tech film.
For sure, for sure. Yeah, it's almost like – and it's only week two, so you never know how things are going to evolve kind of. But their first two games have kind of been – similar in that's what they've done. They've put up a lot of points. Patrick Mahomes has looked exactly like a college quarterback back there. I watched all of his throws, and he throws a really pretty ball, and the dude has a cannon, and it's like, I can't even explain it. It's like a freaking flag football game where Andy Reid is the coach of a flag football team, and the other team's just there. You know, they're just playing a flag football game with no scheme, and Andy Reid's coaching up the offense, and guys are just wide open, and he's just ripping it in there.
Makes it look easy.
They are for sure. And yeah. I will say, I think his best throw for me was he had one to Kelsey that was like in the third quarter that was just down the seam. And he had a linebacker right on him that was actually in pretty good coverage that time, and he threw it on a rope, and it, you know, before the safety could get there, and that was a beautiful throw, and I thought maybe it was his best of the day.
Very reminiscent of last year against Denver, the first completion of the game down to Demetrius Harris. Oh. That is very similar. Even that one was even tougher.
Yeah.
But it was a very similar throw, and you know, the power he puts behind it, he's still able to get over the linebacker.
Yeah. He can definitely make all of the throws, and I'm not going to lie, I'm not very happy about this, boys. I'm witnessing the beginning of something that's going to go for many years and probably tear up the division for a while. So
yeah, where are you at on the old P scale?
The P scale. Yeah. I mean, for this season, specifically probably about a 4 or a 5. Long-term, it's up there. Like there's danger. Like might have to pack a pad, you know, it's probably an 8. So yeah. Well, Travis,
having had to live through Peyton Manning on the Broncos, it feels nice to kind of have the shoe on the other foot.
Yeah, we freaking deserve this. I was going to say. This is how it feels. You pointed out the stat that we haven't beat the Steelers since in Pittsburgh since 86. I wonder if that has anything, any correlation to not drafting a first-round quarterback since 1983. You know, now we finally have that.
Who was that? Was that Blackledge?
Yeah, it would. Of course, that's the year that Elway and Marino,
Dan Marino,
went before. Yeah. Well, I think only Elway went before. Chiefs were like two or three or whatever.
You could have had several of them there. What, you know, Marino, Jim Kelly, I think.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's funny stuff. So, I mean, traded up to get their guy, and, you know, he's showing them why they liked him so much and why they were comfortable sending Alex Smith packing. And, yeah, I mean, the kid has been impressive. What, he's 10 touchdowns in 2 games to start
with
the season?
With no interceptions.
With no picks is an NFL record through 2 games, past Peyton Manning and Drew Brees for – I think they both had 9 to start a season.
Thank you, Andy Reid, for those two little shovel passes on the goal line in week 1. He can thank him, because really, let's be honest, that's 8 touchdowns, which is still great. But
right.
That's not – I mean, come on. Those were not touchdown passes.
The stat is a stat. So, Travis, what were you main takeaways from this game, or just Mahomes in general?
Yeah, it's mostly going to be Mahomes, because I view this season as, you know, we're playing with house money. You know, we're not expected to go to the Super Bowl. It's not a go-for-broke season. We didn't expect to contend immediately. We can. It's possible. But the expectations aren't that high. So what I'm looking at every game is the next 5 years, the next 10 years, the next 15 years, like, to me, I'm just – my head's exploding. I see a dynasty coming in. And I it's crazy to say that.
The dynasty is unfolding.
I mean, come on. I mean, it's crazy that Mahomes and Reed, this combination is something that, as a Chiefs fan, I have literally never seen in my lifetime. And my takeaway from this game, specifically on Pat Mahomes, is, you know, this is what I expected – and this is the potential that I saw whenever we drafted Pat Mahomes. And Ryan and I actually were lucky enough to be at the Chiefs draft party, luckily, the night that we drafted and traded up to get Mahomes. That's what the place was lit, we had visions of. That's what we were all dreaming of that night. And this is what's happened. But I didn't dream that it would happen in week 2 of 2019. Or 2018, I thought this was going to be next season at the earliest.
Right.
You know, I didn't think the efficiency. You know, he's got more touchdowns than incompletions. He's not throwing interceptions. There's so many things that we can take away from just these 2 games. His post-snap reads, he is not only making the right choices and avoiding mistakes, he's already looking off safeties when he notices single high coverage on the Tyreek Hill touchdown. He knows where he's going. He knows he's going to Tyreek Hill as soon as Hill makes it off of they're pressing him. And so he beats the coverage. And Mahomes, instead of staring down his receiver that he knows he's thrown it to, he looks over to the right and gets the single high safety to stay put so that he can fire a dart in there and get it to Hill for the touchdown. Like, stuff like that. I didn't expect to see this soon.
Right, right. He does seem to be really good with his eyes already starting off. And yeah, that was the other thing, you know, to start. I did not predict, you know, I knew the Chiefs offense would be scary, but it's even scarier if he's not turning the ball over. And that was kind of something that, especially coming out of camp, that you were hearing that maybe he's throwing interceptions in camp and maybe being a little careless, but it hasn't shown up. And that's been a big deal.
Yeah, I was one of the people that wasn't concerned about that. You know, you hear a lot of coach speak during the preseason, and one of the things that Andy Reid was big on was, no, those interceptions are not a big deal. We're telling him to push his limits. We're telling him to make those throws so that he can gauge, you know, what he can get away with in the NFL versus what he could do in college. And I did agree with that. You know, I didn't think he'd come out and throw no intercept. And it's not like he's not – he's also not, you know, making bad decisions that could have, there's not a ton of passes that could have been intercepted.
Right.
They just got dropped or for whatever reason. He's making very good decisions.
Yeah.
And
I mean,
he's being accurate. And one of the other big things that I notice is, and this is, this season is going to be about comparing Patrick Mahomes to what we've had with Alex Smith. And even though Smith had a career year last year, there were stretches that started in the Pittsburgh game. It's why it's ironic. Pittsburgh's zone blitz is what gave Alex Smith so much trouble. It gave him like PTSD and sent him into like a huge slump.
Yeah.
But the pocket awareness, when that blitz is coming out after him, Alex Smith just, I don't understand it. He couldn't keep his eyes up. He'd put his eyes down. And so at that point, the best thing he can do is check it down or scramble for a couple yards, or maybe he picks up a good amount of yards on a scramble. But, you know, constantly on Sunday, you saw the Steelers throwing max pressures on Mahomes, trying to force a sack or get him to throw an interception. And he keeps his eye level up, and he navigates the pocket or rolls out and is in the right place and is able to make a throw on the run or, you know, throw it away if there's nothing there. And I mean, that's to me the biggest difference between Alex Smith and Patrick Mahomes. Obviously the arm strength is what everybody talks about, but
right.
I think the biggest functional difference between what we're seeing this year so far from Mahomes and what we had with Alex Smith was the ability to make plays whenever there's pressure.
Right. Yeah. He does seem to keep his head up a lot better. And I mean, to me, the offensive line looks pretty good in pass protection, to be honest. Like, he's had to scramble some, but I thought for the most part they held up pretty well against what's a pretty good Pittsburgh D-line. TJ Watt with his whatever he had last week, 4 sacks or something like that. I don't think he had any. So yeah, I thought the O-line played better, and we did lose Ryan there, so we will come back on the other side and we'll get him back, talk some more in general about the game. All right, we're back. Ryan is back with us. Lost him there for a second. But before the break, we were discussing Pat Mahomes and his big day, obviously. And Travis had one more thing he wanted to talk about there. So hit us.
Yeah, so I'm real giddy. You know, everybody's celebrating in Kansas City. We're all just elated because this is not something that Chiefs fans are used to. And I do want to point out that I don't think it's going to keep being like this. I don't think this is sustainable. This efficiency especially is not going to continue to happen. I think a big portion of it, a big question mark that I have is, you know, we see Andy Reid go in and out. For example, last year, the first 4 or 5 games of the season, Andy Reid's offense was unstoppable. Nobody could touch.
He does. He has big Septembers.
Yeah. And it'll come and go. And towards the end of the season, it kind of picked up again for a little bit. And so it's like the NFL adjusts, and Andy Reid sometimes can be too stubborn to adjust, you know, in response to everybody figuring him out. So I wonder, when is that going to come this year, and will it be different now that we have a totally different skill set at quarterback in Mahomes? So when the script isn't going well, we have a quarterback that can improvise and create plays. So maybe the fall doesn't come crashing down like it did last year in Pittsburgh and last like that 5-game losing streak or whatever it was. So maybe it's not as bad, but it's just simply impossible. Mahomes is on pace for 80 touchdowns. And
right.
That's not going to happen.
Like Deshaun Watson last year during his streak, like his touchdown to just completions was insane, and that's kind of what Mahomes is doing this year. And yeah, I agree. Andy Reid usually scripts up, and it seems like he's just ahead of everybody at the beginning of the year and has his team ready to go. And I'll tell you when it's going to happen is week 4. Yeah, welcome to Denver, gentlemen. On Monday Night Football, no less. I am ready. Let's go.
That'll be our third away game in 4 weeks.
Yeah, that is crazy. Thanks a lot. Did not do you any favors.
Well, it's the Chiefs' fault. Yeah. It's Taylor Swift's fault.
Oh, the Taylor Swift concert. Blame Taylor Swift. That's right. She was here.
Yep.
Shout out to Mark Donovan. Taylor Swift on the Behind the Lines Enemy Lines podcast. But, yeah, so I want to see Mahomes in more of an unscripted game where he's, you know, got to make a comeback or, you know, make some plays to stay in the game or come from behind, that kind of thing. Yeah. I will say, like, this game, this game could have gone some different ways. The Chiefs jumped out 21-0 really quick. And even at that point, I didn't think I think it would have been over had that, because it was 21-0 when the strip sack happened, right?
Yeah. Yep. There would have been 28-0.
Yeah. So that happened at the goal line, and then they got bailed out by the penalty, right? Someone a holding penalty or something like that.
Yeah, holding on Orlando Scandrick.
Right. Yep. Which they didn't show. Did you guys ever see it? Or
yes, I saw the all 22 of that today, and it's hard to see it because when you watch it in slow motion, it gets all grainy. Yeah. But you can tell that Scandrick has his arm on the receiver. I think it's Antonio Brown.
It's Antonio Brown.
He's got his arm on him as he's cutting in. I think it was like an in route.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, it doesn't look like a flagrant, like obvious call, but it also, you can't tell that it's a terrible call. And you can tell that the ball has not been fumbled yet. So that was one of the other big things, is everybody thought, well, he had already fumbled it by the time they threw the flag. Like, they thought that there's a big conspiracy. Everybody's like, oh, they see the strip sack and they just threw the flag and made up some penalty. Well, no, there's clearly a hold going on. Maybe it was picky, whatever, but that happens. I'm not too upset about it. Yeah. But
the broadcast just needs to show
it. Right.
I mean, that solves all the problems. Yeah, everyone after it freaks out because they don't see it.
Like, it's
all
a cover up or something.
Yeah. All they see is a 14-point swing.
Exactly. I blame Dan Fouts.
He's definitely is blame. Awful, but yeah. So I was thankful for the penalty because I think that changed the game big time and made it competitive. Because at 28-0, I don't think there would have been, like, they might have come back, but it was tied at halftime, right? 21-0.
Yeah, and the Chiefs got the ball to open the second half, and they marched right down and scored the touchdown. And I enjoyed seeing that because it was frustrating in the sense that, yeah, this, we could have just ended this game, but we let him back into it. But it was kind of nice to see that, to see Mahomes have to go back out there and, throw 3 more touchdown passes in the second half to get the win.
Right. Yeah. So yeah, I mean, he did respond to some adversity there coming out the second half. And again, I'm sure that was very scripted and, you know, props to Andy Reid. And is he calling the plays again now? Burrow's gone? Yeah.
Yeah, Bieniemy's not really a play caller.
Gotcha. Yeah.
I will say that as far as the script, I did see that, and I don't know if you noticed, in the second half, we went empty set like
a lot.
The majority of the time. It was, and that's where it started looking like we were watching a Texas Tech game. And in one of the post-game interviews, they asked Andy Reid about that, and his response was something to the effect of, yeah, he approached Pat and asked him, you know, what do you want to do for the second half? So, and his response was, you know, he felt comfortable in the empty set that he can pick them apart and he can beat the blitz if they spread them out like that. So to me, that was huge hearing that. Well, one, that Andy Reid would even give anybody any input on the game plan and that he would alter anything. So he may have completely gone off script. You know, he could have scripted something within those parameters after that conversation that he had with him. But that to me was huge, that Mahomes in his second real start, was given the opportunity to tell Andy Reid what he thought, you know, what kind of approach they should take. So,
yeah, that's interesting, yeah, if that's the case. And looking at just some of the, like, I guess one of my questions for, and this is for either of you, I'm looking at the stat line. Kareem Hunt had 18 carries for 75 yards, which is actually a little better than I thought watching the game. 4.2 average, which is fine.
Respectable.
Fine, yeah. It just doesn't seem like he's not ripping off runs, it seems like. Is that...
Well, I think that's the biggest area of our offense that is actually not, you know, performing at an insane level right now is our interior run blocking. The problem we've had for a while is we struggle to get a push in the middle, and so it's hard to open up lanes, and so it comes to a lot of off tackle and stretch plays that the, you know, a fast defense like Pittsburgh's will just run down.
Yeah.
And so, and we haven't, I mean, part of the reason he's not getting big numbers is we haven't had him needing to. I mean,
yeah.
Yeah.
Our passing game's doing all right. Our passing game's more efficient than our running game. Right. So and why would you run the ball?
I guess I would just be curious to see what happens, that, you know, maybe at the end of a game where, you know, like, and I think that he will. I think that he will trust him enough to throw it. But, you know, we're like, if you've got to grind that clock away, you know, and Kareem Hunt freaking, you know, led the league in rushing last year. So it's like, you know, he can do it. You know, he's capable and that he's good. But
that happened a little bit in this Steelers game. We had, you know, the last drive there where we had to run the ball to run out the clock, and he was able to get the first down.
Did you guys have the ball at the end? You did. Yeah. Well, yeah. there was something that happened at the end that I thought that
we end up having to punt it back. We couldn't run all the clock off.
Oh, it was so the roughing.
They got it back for like 10 seconds.
I thought they roughed your kicker.
That was to end the game.
Yeah. So they actually didn't get the ball back. But
It was, and there was negligible amount of time.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
But the only reason that happened is Pittsburgh had 3 timeouts when that drive started, so they were able to stop the clock 3 times. But we did. I think we got. Is it just one, or did we get 2 first downs?
We just got 1 first down.
Okay, but
because I'm pretty sure we had a false start that took us back 5 yards.
Okay, but yeah,
and we couldn't make that.
But Kareem Hunt had 15 yards rushing on that drive where they knew we were going to be running the ball, and that was one of the things that shocked me. Is I figured Kareem Hunt's success this year is going to come by busting off big runs whenever everybody's focusing on all the pass catchers,
right?
But and thinking. At the beginning of that drive, in my head, I'm thinking, we got to throw it here because they're going to know that we're running. And then the very first run that they gave to Hunt, he picked up like 8 yards. I was like, okay, well, maybe we can do this. But I will also say that, you know, he's not getting a ton of carries. And
yeah, 18. I mean, you know, that's.
Well, yeah, that does end up being, it's more than it seemed like throughout the game.
Yeah, but, that's what I thought too.
But it just seemed like my main point there is the offense is moving so quickly. Like the Chiefs are, the offense is so efficient that we're almost maybe, are we scoring too fast? Like with our defense in the situation that it is, I don't know if our defense can handle that. You know, if we score. Yeah,
that's true. Yeah. I never thought about that. It's like, you know, if it's like a team that goes 3 and out all the time and their defense is gassed, well, if you're scoring in a minute and a half.
Yeah, then we're going to get into these shootouts like this. And instead of, you know, instead of milking the clock a little bit, letting our defense rest, then, you know, we could potentially be like shooting ourselves in the foot by making our defense, asking them to do something even harder when they're already at a disadvantage, because obviously that's the weakest part of the roster.
Right. And speaking, so just transitioning a little bit, we've talked a lot about the Chiefs offense because they have been tearing it up. Their defensive side of the ball, that you actually held them down rushing, which I was a little surprised, which obviously they were trailing most of the game. So they, you know, Ben Roethlisberger threw the ball 60 times.
Yeah.
39 of 60 for 452 and 3 touchdowns and rushed for another. So, like, probably the two best fantasy performances of any quarterback were in this game. But James Conner was 8 for 17, which is ew.
Yeah.
And
our running game is much improved.
Yeah, so go ahead, somebody tell me about where the holes are. Who are the weak links in the Chiefs defense right now? Obviously
the Chiefs defense is the weak link.
Who's the safety that's playing for Eric Berry right now?
Eric Murray.
He is
a weak link.
Murray. That's the weak link.
Hey, at least we got Ron Parker back. That's
He played 99% of snaps that game.
Wow.
Yeah.
So he's come back and he's playing every snap.
So
and he's doing
and
well.
And what's the scoop on Berry? Is he
I'm scared.
It's
a heel
who
injury.
Knows really. Yeah, it's a heel, but it's the opposite of the foot that he had injured last year.
Like plantar fasciitis or
it's sore.
They've never come out and really said. It's just a sore heel.
Sore
is
heel.
The diagnosis.
Sore heel, literally day to day. That's all we got.
Interesting.
Yeah. And supposedly he's going to start practicing for the first time this week, but I doubt he'll get that heavy practices.
Yeah.
I doubt he'll.
Well, the Chiefs also pulled a Broncos this week, and Jesse James had 5 catches for 138 yards. And Vance McDonald's had a few catches too. My guy Juju went for 13 and 121 and a TUD.
Look at Antonio Brown's stat line. Tell me what you think about that.
It was not enough.
Yeah.
What was the deal with that? Was he hurt? Like,
no.
Did he,
no.
No. I mean, it seemed like he was, I don't know. Like, who was Skandrick on him most of the day, or was it?
Well, the Chiefs don't rotate. Chiefs don't rotate. Okay. So it's different corners each time. But I noticed Skandrick was in coverage on him a couple times. And I thought Orlando Skandrick did a great job covering Antonio Brown. And Nelson had a couple good ones too. Of course, there's 60 pass attempts. There was plenty of bad from Steven Nelson. Don't get me wrong. But Antonio Brown, if you're going to tell me that Ben Roethlisberger throws the ball 60 times and we hold Antonio Brown to 9 catches for 67 yards on 17 targets.
9 for 67.
Wow,
he had 17 targets.
Yeah, so, I mean, they were looking at him, but to me was a huge – that was a positive.
It just seems like he kind of threw a fit on the sideline. I'm not really sure what it was about, if that was because he wasn't getting targeted at that point. And then, like, today – did you hear about the story today? Like, he didn't show up for meeting.
Yeah, and did you hear about the tweet yesterday?
Oh, the tweet is no –
the tweet, the trade tweet. Yeah, I don't –
yeah,
that was out of context.
Too much into it, but at the same time, like, do you say that without – you know, like, I don't know.
He's obviously upset.
Well, I mean, he's talking to the deal was it was somebody that used to work in Pittsburgh's PR department, and they had a tweet that at Antonio Brown saying that he better be thanking Big Ben for getting him paid, because you know he wasn't going to do any of this. He wasn't going to put these numbers up anywhere else. And so Antonio Brown is just responding to that guy. He's not saying that he wants to be traded. That's the problem with Twitter being 140 characters. He's really just trying to shut that guy up and say, okay, go ahead and trade me and see what would happen. I don't think he's not really wanting to be traded.
He's just kind of being cocky or whatever, believes himself. But yeah, the final thing that I will say about this game, one of my takeaways is if the Chiefs can get Sammy Watkins 6 for 100. Like they've got so many ways that they, like last week, like Tyreek didn't have 100 this week, did he?
Yeah, 90.
It
was all in the second half. He didn't have a single catch in the first half.
Yeah. So, I mean, Mahomes threw for 326. So basically all of that yardage is Kelce, Watkins and Hill, which is fine. If you're the Chiefs, but If Sammy Watkins can be a guy, then that's bad news for defenses too, because I mean, Tyreek's taken the top off, obviously. But he looked fast in that. He looked faster than I gave him credit for.
Watkins?
Yeah.
Yeah, Watkins was the unsung hero of this game. He really played well the entire game.
Yeah.
You know, after the catch, you know, getting open, making the catches. You know, that's kind of the problem we had with him before is, you know, he would have some drops, and he's already had, what, two drops this season?
Yeah.
But he played well today.
I thought he actually kind of reminded me of Percy Harvin. And it's probably because they gave him that jet sweep carry. You know, he's kind of looked like a running back. You know,
he looks – he's big, isn't he? I mean –
Yeah, he's
6'2",
yeah,
217, something like that.
Pretty big dude. So, yeah, I mean, definitely a weapon. And, yeah, I'll be interested to see, you know, when they play like a top-tier defense, which by all accounts we thought maybe the Chargers were going to be. Obviously, they didn't have Joey Bosa, but
they – I mean, they looked it, but they looked it this week, but, of course, it was the Bills.
Yeah,
so. Yeah, throw that out. That means nothing.
Yeah, why don't we go ahead and we'll wrap up this segment since we're talk about just the rest of the AFC West, and we'll get both the Broncos and the Raiders in the next segment. Just finish up with the Chargers, obviously going into Buffalo and taking care of business like they should, but they beat them so badly, and the Bills are so bad that they got people retiring at halftime.
That
I couldn't believe that.
What's going
on? That's peak Bills, man. This is going to be a long season.
The
infinity
of 2018 Bills. Yeah. Vontae Davis just walks out of the locker room, doesn't say anything to anyone, and calls it a career. That is unbelievable.
And what really got me is that he actually left the stadium. He, you know, changed into his street clothes and took off. It's one thing if you realize that you don't have it anymore and you tell the coach, you know, I can't do this. That's one thing.
At least
stay there
go,
and support your
go
teammates.
Go out there and sit on the bench and support your team at least. Yeah, that's just weird. That's a very weird and I don't know. Not about that life, but it is definitely newsworthy.
Yeah.
Unprecedented. So Chargers get the win there. They move to 1-1. Chiefs 2-0 on the road. I think that's sneaky underrated too. And you know,
going into the season, a lot of people talking about, you know, this beginning stretch is very difficult. You know,
right?
They're thinking, you know, we'd be okay if just one win out of these four, and you know, we'd be able to get through it. But having been 2-0 after the stretch we've got,
definitely weathering the storm there, and then some. Any final thoughts about this game?
Well, one hot take I've got about this game,
please,
about the Chiefs team, specifically the Chiefs defense, is if the Chiefs could manufacture a pass rush, I don't think the secondary would be all that bad. I think the main problem is they're having to go down there and cover for, you know, 5-6 seconds. And even, you know, some of the best corners can't hold on that long.
Yeah.
You know, we've saw some good things from Orlando Scandrick. Steven Nelson's shown some good flashes. Kendall Fuller's obviously very good. I think if we could generate a pass rush, I think this defense could be adequate.
Ryan, what if I told you that I have a way to make that happen?
Is it not put Breland Speaks on the field?
How did you know?
It's pretty obvious.
Maybe let's not take someone that belongs as like a five tech defensive end at outside, standing up in on 2 feet as an outside linebacker.
Just Bunsen burner blowtorch to
he. I mean, go
Speaks.
Go watch his snaps.
He gets
ate dirt. No pressure whatsoever. He gets no movement. He can't even move.
he can't even move.
What got me is he got more snaps than Tano Passanio.
I know that's.
And I don't agree.
That's
with
on
that.
My radar. And Tano Passanio. They're both they have similar pedigrees coming into the league. Passanio obviously was a smaller school, so it seemed like he was a little more of a project potentially, but Speaks is less of a physical fit as an outside linebacker, so they're both projects, but Passanio has the year of experience and he looked great this preseason, and he's looked good while he has been in these last two games. I have no idea why Speaks is not just out snapping him, but he's got like about twice as much.
Boob Sutton.
Man.
Bob Sutton, booming it up. So we will see down the line if the Chiefs can make some better personnel decisions and manufacture a pass rush. But for now, they are going – you're at home this week against
– Finally.
Who you got?
Jimmy G.
Jimmy G coming to town, the handsome one. So that'll be a fun game. I think that should be a fun game.
It'll be a good matchup.
Yeah. Looking forward to that one. Of course, we will be back next week to break that down. And we will see you on the other side. The segment's about to get a lot more orange, which is
vomit inducing.
Loving it. All right, we'll be back. Talking some Broncos football. The Denver Broncos are 2-0, baby, with a 20-19 victory over the Oakland Raiders. John Gruden trying to get his first $100 million win. And it didn't happen this week, baby. Not in our house.
Not looking good for John Gruden.
Johnny boy. I will say this. It was a weird game. And I thought that John Gruden, whether it was his, I don't know how much of it was his game plan or our crappy game plan, but they came in and they kind of punched us in the mouth.
Yeah.
I mean, we were shut out at halftime. Like, this is a game that, you know, and again, it's after week one, you really don't know that much about a team. You just never know how things are going to go. Even after 2 weeks, it's tough to know, but what you see in week one and just coming in, you don't think the Raiders are that good, although they did play the Rams, who are very good. And there's everything leading up to this game just screamed to me that the Broncos would handle their business. I don't know if you guys saw this. There was a before the game in preparation week, there was a skunk in the Raiders, like, team facility. Did you guys hear about that? Yeah.
That's poetic.
They get beat by the Rams, and then John Gruden in one of his press conferences during the week says they had to evacuate their training facility because a skunk had gotten in and sprayed.
Wow, this organization cannot wait to go to Las Vegas.
There's that, and it's like what is happening with the Raiders right now, and everything leading up to this game just points to, you know, the Broncos maybe just being the better team, and I think the line was 6 or maybe 5.5. Actually, I think the Chiefs game was 5.5. I think we were 6 or 6.5 point favorites, and I thought that felt about right. But obviously, we came out and couldn't do Dilly
anything in the first half.
Disley, we couldn't do Will Disley in the first half. And I mean, really, the only good thing in that first, I mean, and but what a good thing it is
oh yeah,
Philip Lindsay. I don't know if you guys saw his run, the 54-yard run.
Yes,
I mean, that his moves are so, like, his jukes are so subtle, but that guy that, like, I think the guy would have been blocked anyway because we had a guy that was there to block him, but his just real quick step to the outside and then back in was just so fast, and the guy was just on his face. This kid is freaking exciting. I'm excited.
He's a good player. I mean, his only issues, you know, he's got a small frame.
Yeah,
I mean, he's hold small up as a main back.
Yeah, and the thing is I don't think that he needs to be. You know, like, obviously he's been the best back for us, and whenever we've needed those runs, like, he had 14 carries, which, you know, I don't think is a workhorse load or anything.
No.
But even, you know, Royce Freeman was respectable. He had 8 for 28 and a touchdown. and Devontae Booker can just fade into oblivion.
Obscurity.
Something. I've never thought he was very good.
Fade into no Sean Moreno territory.
No Sean Moreno. Hey, don't you go.
No show, no gain.
Don't you go insulting no show. I always liked that guy. He ran hard. But anyways, yeah, Philip Lindsay, and of course, like we hit that 54-yard run, and then we get down in the red zone, and of course, Keenum ruins that with the pick, targeting Jake Butt, by the way, who had a pretty nice game, 4 for 48, and I think 3 of his 4 were for first downs, and the last one, his last catch was on the game-winning drive, so. He's made some big plays for us, but I just thought that this coming into the game, it was so weird. Like Derek Carr, who took a lot of heat last week, he finished the game 29 of 32.
You couldn't miss
it. 90% completion percentage in a losing effort.
Yeah.
It like just so weird. And the way that we chose to play defensively, like we know that that's what he wants to do, you know, that to get the ball out quick, especially against our pass rush, and our corners were 10 yards off the ball.
I think that's what changed mostly in the second half, is you started to put a little bit more pressure on the receivers.
We did,
and made it more difficult for him, and he had, you know, he couldn't go further down the field. His intermediate routes were completely gone.
Yeah, and I will say that even some in the second half that he did beat, like Jared Cook ran free of freaking tight ends, man. But better this week. 4 for 49 for Cook.
With the better receiver.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, of course, Amari Cooper, the week after I trade him away in fantasy, goes for 10 for 116. But again, a lot of those throws, they just seem like quick hitters to the outside. And like, I just don't really like Cooper, for as ineffective as he's been, was... We had Tremaine Brock on him. Like, why? Our nickel corner. Like, just put Chris Harris or Bradley Roby at least. Like, it just...
Broncos missing Wade Phillips.
Wade Phillips. Yeah, I will say that I am worried that about our secondary a little bit. Like, even... I think that a lot of that could have been fixed with a better scheme, or better game plan, but... Yeah. We have gotten beat a few times deep. Russell Wilson in week one, I mean, that's going to happen. But that was a breakdown in coverage. And then also in the second half, the 20-yarder down the middle to Seth Roberts for the touchdown. He actually beat Chris Harris there, but he should have had inside help from Simmons, who was peeking at the tight end. They said that we were going to stop the tight end. Like on that play, we had two linebackers on Cook, and Simmons was still – looking that way, and then got beat to the inside because of that. So, I mean, I guess credit to that. You know, I guess they're gonna say, well, we're not gonna let Jared Cook beat us, but if Seth Roberts does, then I guess kudos to them. But you know, so obviously flip the script in the second half. Emmanuel Sanders had 0 targets in the first half.
That's another big thing. Yeah, they finally got him involved in the second half.
Yeah, and. I mean, this year, like, I don't think there's any question. Like, he's gonna be our wide receiver one. Like, he's gonna outgain Demaryius Thomas this year, and I don't think it's gonna be that close.
Thomas looked bad. He had a bad game.
And I have always loved DT, but he had at least two, maybe three drops.
Yeah.
And one
drop on the last drive was awful.
I sunk into my couch and I was like, you're not going to get a better opportunity than that, really. And because, you know, that would have put us in field goal range if he would have made that catch. And I believe it. Like, I think that, like, a lot of people I've seen on Broncos are media are calling, or social media, I guess I should say, are calling for him to be, like, traded, which, for one thing, is not going to happen because his contract is not trade friendly. And he's a leader in the locker room. Like, I think he's still going to play. You know, that he's going to get his targets. I think he led the team in targets again. He had 11 targets, only 5 catches, 5 for 18. Yeah. Like, what the heck? So, I don't know. I think he's gonna he'll bounce back. He'll be okay. I mean, nobody's harder on him than him. And I've always kind of been bummed for him about that. He kind of gets down on himself, and I think it affects him and his play. But I will say that some of these guys that are coming up behind him, if he doesn't start playing better, I think he's probably going to start losing snaps to Cortland Sutton and Deshaun Hamilton, who actually still doesn't have a catch yet this year. Cortland Sutton actually got targeted, I think, 6 times. I can't remember if he had a catch. He had 2.
I thought that was a touchdown.
Dude, I mean,
so close.
I understand that since they ruled it incomplete, but they
it shouldn't have been
confirmed. They confirmed, right? Yeah. Like, that just didn't make any sense.
It shouldn't have been confirmed. I understand it being a stands play because it's extremely close. That's what they called it on the field. You know, it's hard to overturn it, but I don't see how he could have confirmed it from the angles that we had.
Yeah. So, I mean, I just think that Cortland Sutton is playing pretty well for his limited snaps, and obviously he can see the big play ability that he has, and that if he started getting, you know, just those Thomas's reps and targets, maybe just what he could do with that, I'm interested to see. But I mean, the main thing is just that we have guys now that can come in and actually produce. Whereas last year, I mean, it was like Trevor Siemian, it pretty much exclusively threw to Demaryius and Sanders. And then when Sanders got hurt, like there's literally nothing. Like, and this year we've got Sanders. Thomas is still going to, you know, be there. Sutton, Jake Butt, who, you know, I think is going to start. His snap count is still below Jeff Heuermann, but he's going to start.
He's outproducing him.
He's outproducing. He's better than him. You know, I think it may stay this way just because Heuermann is more experienced and a good blocker, but I think that he's going to start drawing more targets, especially in the red zone. That's who he was looking for on the interception was Jake Butt. So, but yeah, I mean, we were down for 59 minutes and 52 seconds in this game, losing at home to the Oakland Raiders. And so that's, it's not ideal.
The Raiders have shown a pattern now. They had the same thing against the Rams. They started off really good in the first half. You know, they kept up with the Rams. I don't remember what the score was at the end of the half, but I remember it was close.
Yeah, I think it was 13-10. I think they were winning.
Yeah, so they're able to do well in the first half. But once it gets to the second half, I don't know if it's coaching. I mean, I feel like that's what it has to be, that they just lose everything. They're out-coached, out-game-planned, and cannot adjust to what the other team is doing.
Yeah, and I think that could be part of it. And it could be – I mean, to be honest, like, I just don't think their roster is that talented. And so maybe when they come out, they, you know, like, it is coaching that's maybe getting them into good position. And then afterwards, they're just getting outplayed. I will say, I mean, there were a lot of things, several things that had to happen for Denver to get back in this game. And, you know, one of them obviously was we blocked an extra point, and that ended up being the difference in the game was one point. There was a point in the second half, I think, with like 12 minutes left. And I think I remember thinking there's a lot of time left, but if they pick up this first down here, we're in big trouble, because or if they were going to go on and score a touchdown, at least if we would have held them to a field goal, we would have been okay as long as we kept it 2 scores. But they had a nice play for 4th-and-1 where they went for it in no man's land and their fullback just dropped it.
Like, oh yeah, and the little swing pass.
Yeah, it's just the fullback in the flat, basically. And it was kind of weird because Bradley Chubb was in coverage there, and he was like right with him. And as soon as the ball was thrown, he started running. He saw the tight end like up there, and I don't know if he just thought that's where he was throwing to, but he was right on the guy, and then he started running away. And you kind of see after the fullback drops the ball, like Todd Davis is right there. Like he wouldn't have been able to make the stop in time, but he was the closest guy, and he was just kind of like, you saw him like kind of grab his helmet, like, oh crap, that would have been that would have been bad. So that was a gaffe that helped us out a lot. And then, you know, Case Keenum, I don't know. I don't know about the guy. I mean, I think that he's obviously way better than anything that we had last year. But I don't think he's necessarily the guy that we are advertised, you know, in Minnesota, where he, you know, kind of came in relief and played out of his mind. Like, everyone say that he played safe, but his stats there didn't really reflect, you know, like a safe player. Like, he legitimately balled over there. So I don't know if it's the system, or I think part of it might be that he, you know, like John Elway wanted him, you know, like, this is his team, we went and got him, and he thinks that, you know, this is just his chance. And, you know, in a way it is. Like, I don't think that Case Keenum is this safe, like, you know, protect the ball kind of game manager quarterback. I think he's, you know, like, kind of like a Ryan Fitzpatrick almost, that wants to chuck it all over the field, which I don't know.
I think the big problem with that game for the first half is, in the first half, Case Keenum was that game manager, throw it short quarterback. You were throwing, having a lot of third downs, throw it short of the sticks. He wasn't testing them intermediate or deep at all. And I noticed that's really something that changed in the second half. He started throwing, you know, some deep outs, deep intermediate man beaters. And that's really started, you know, diagnosing that Raiders defense and picking them apart.
Yeah.
Because their pass rush wasn't getting there.
I don't know if that was a product, like, that was just their game plan coming in as well, was that we were going to try and run the ball and then just kind of be conservative because, you know, we thought that we would come out ahead, you know, but they were beating us, you know, so, and that didn't really change, was the weird thing. And, yeah, so, I mean, but obviously in the end, you make a stop, make a couple stops, and your offense scored on four straight possessions, and we get the stop at the end, and then I think they punt into the end zone. We're at the 20, and then we get a holding penalty. So it's actually, I think we had second and 10 from the 10 with a little over a minute, or about a minute probably at that point. And we went, I mean, 70 yards. We got all the way down to the 20, to their 20. And, I mean, just a pretty gritty final drive. And, I mean, I can't complain too much about it. Good teams find ways to win. And, like I said, I just don't know how much stock to put into it as a – I mean, I'm happy to be 2-0. That's what I'm happy about. And, but, you know, they're both home games that we kind of thought we should win. And we did win them. So give them credit for that. But it's scary. I don't really know. We're 2-0 last year and then 5-11. So
yeah, the Broncos always start off well. They are their first couple of home games. They're always really good. I don't know what it is that's in the water down there in Denver.
Yeah. Statistically, we are very good at home to start the year.
Yeah. And so it worked in your favor. You had a couple, you know, home games against maybe not the best opponents. Good start to the season.
Yeah. I mean, and it, you know, remains to be seen. We'll see what the Seahawks and Raiders end up doing. Obviously, Seattle losing to the Bears last night.
But that offensive line is very bad.
It is not good. But I will, speaking of offensive lines, our offensive line has been very good. I think Keenum was sacked once, and I don't know, our new right tackle, Jared Belt, he's actually in concussion protocol, and hopefully he'll be all right, because he has been a difference maker for us. He's the anti Menelik Watson.
Yeah,
I know that Chiefs fans are very sad that Menelik Watson is no longer a member of the Denver Broncos.
Sad to see him go. He was one of the best Chiefs players.
He's one of the best Chiefs players. I mean, like, oh, the Raiders. We got him from the Raiders. That was an inside job. Had to have been.
Yeah.
That guy's been bad. But Jared Valdir, like, I'm thinking right now, I'm looking at the Cardinals and how horrid they have been and how bad their offensive line has been and thinking, wow, they could probably use a guy like this. Oh, wait, they traded him to us. So, I mean, I think he was injury prone or injured and just never really got to play at his full potential. But I am liking what I'm seeing from the offensive line. I think we're second. We're second in the league in rushing. I think we're like 1 yard behind the Houston Texans, which is surprising. Lamar Miller getting it done, I guess.
He didn't have a huge week this week, but he's been efficient.
Yeah. Yeah. And I don't know. I mean, Deshaun Watson has probably been rushing for some, if I had to guess.
Yeah.
Case Keenum with the rushing touchdown this week, baby. I mean, those
fantasy points. That was a good play call.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, I could not believe that. I was like, what are you doing? I thought for sure that you were kicking the field goal there. I mean, it paid off, but man, you needed two scores regardless. And if you didn't get that, it was
over.
You were done. Yeah, that was the game right there. And they laid it all on the line and stuck it in there. So I guess props to them. But
I think you trust your defense at that point, that close to the goal line. If you turn it over, the idea
that you force a quick stop.
Yeah,
three and out
with that pass rush with the front seven of the Broncos. I think you got to feel confident that if you give it back to them at their own 1 or 2 yard line, you know, I think that's what allows you to feel confident enough to go, which I think in it paid off.
Yes, it did. So, actually, by the way, I have here a Chiefs Kingdom flag that I got from the old Mickey D's. on the first Red Friday of the year.
Oh, I'm nervous Hang about where proud. This is going.
And no, I just, you know, I want to reward one of you. And so I'm just going to lay this. I'm going to lay this trivia question out for you. And whichever one of you, you know, gets it right, or I'm just going to say the question. Then whoever says the answer first, because I can't really like see you guys, you know, to like write something down, but let's lay the question out there. Just shout it out, and whoever was first and or right, first and right, gets the Chiefs Kingdom flag. So that's it.
Let's do it.
You all ready, Travis? Yep. You ready?
Yeah.
All right. The final catch of the game-winning drive for the Broncos was made by.
I know it's 81. I don't know what his name is.
Man, I can't think of his name either. Yeah, some random guy.
Some random guy. All right, look it up. First one to find
Patrick.
It. Yep. All right, that'll work.
Oh yeah,
I cheated. That's not fair.
Well, you I was gonna. Yeah. All right.
Give it to him.
All right. Yep. Tim Patrick. 81. Yep. He is our fifth receiver. He was kind of the roster bubble guy that kind of stood out in training camp. The dude, he's massive. I think he's our biggest receiver. So, and honestly, like the first week, he's getting a lot of snaps. Like he, in the first week, probably had an opportunity to score a touchdown over the middle where Keenum threw it a little high and he kind of mistimed his jump and probably could have kept going. I mean, there was nobody. And then he also earlier in this game, he made a catch that was in the ends, you know, kind of like along the sideline where he didn't possess it totally. But I mean, he is huge. And I will say that, did you hear the call on the play or did you just watch the play or?
I just watched it.
Yeah. Dude, freaking Bruce Arians, who honestly I wasn't that impressed with as the third commentary guy.
He had his moments.
Not bad, but his call, he's like, oh, that was a bad play by him. You know, young guy, you gotta learn to get down. I was like, dude, he had like 18 seconds or something like that when we snapped the ball. He catches it. And I even said before the play, I was like, you can use the middle of the field. If you hit it, just, you know, run up and spike it. So I was fine. Like, he was like, oh, he shouldn't have made the – like, he made an inside move. And then once he saw that he had room, he cut it back to the sideline. So I was totally – I thought it was a pretty smart play.
Yeah.
Wait, like, he said that on the final catch?
Yeah, yeah. The Bruce Arians was like, "Oh, you got to learn to get down," or something. I was like,
"No, I'd say that about the thing Bruce about Arians. That was the scramble when Case Keenum decided to tuck and run. He should not have done that,
right?
Because, you know, he's picking up like 5 yards and wasting a whole bunch of clock with no timeouts.
Yeah,
but on
did he get a first down?
Don't think so.
Oh, really? I thought maybe.
So
he did,
so that was the thing. Is I immediately thought like. You can't spike it because that was third down. That would have – I don't know for sure.
Right.
I don't know exactly, but I just remember thinking on that drive, the first play, he about got strip sacked. And that whole drive about didn't even happen. And then there was the play later on where he decided to tuck it and run. That could have come back to haunt him. So I do think the Broncos were a little bit fortunate to end up getting in scoring range there.
Yeah, they were. I think that – I don't know. I don't remember that sticking out to me. Just it seemed – because I just remember there was – I think when that happened, there was still quite a bit of time. Like, it definitely wasted time. But there's still maybe 40 or so seconds.
Yeah, I mean, it's
and
not,
we were
it obviously
at
didn't
midfield
kill you,
before.
But...
Yeah, I just remember thinking, you know, like, I felt good. I was like, McManus is going to nail it from 50 – whatever, 55 or, you know, so when then he got the guy was wide, you know, Tim Patrick was wide open. I don't know what if the guy,
well, what it was
like, he stumbled or.
Well, what it was, it was single coverage in a zone over there, and he had a corner route and then he had the flat route underneath, and he had to cover both of them. So
yeah.
He was trying to cover the guy deep. So when he threw it short, he just had to make one move to get past him, and he had
so pretty good
in front of him.
Pretty good play design. And then also I think, you know, obviously they were playing the sideline, so I think maybe he was expecting him to like come to him, you know, like try to go through him to the sideline, and he when he turned it up field he was, you know, he beat him. But yeah, I mean, it was you know, probably not good for my overall heart health. I was very very nervous, and yeah.
I mean, I think a little bit that last drive, you've got to question the Raiders' use of the blitz, because they blitzed on just about every single play, and wasn't getting there. Yeah, they blitzed for, you know, at least five people for the majority of the plays there, leaving their guys on islands.
Yeah,
and it was not working out.
The thing about the Raiders is, you know, do they really need a blitz? They've got, you know, there's holes on their roster, but the one thing they do have. Is an absolutely elite pass. Oh wait!
That would have helped.
Khalil Mack to the Bears. The Bears are saying thank you. The Broncos are saying thank you. The AFC
West are saying thank you.
Is saying thank you to the Raiders for that debacle. And yeah, I mean, that's fair. I mean, they were not. You're right. They were not getting there. And again, I mean, partially that's probably they don't have the players, but I thought our offensive line, it's a million times better than last year.
I'll give you that.
It looks solidified. I think Garrett Bowles stepped forward in year two. Ron Leary back at his original spot, left guard. Matt Paradis is always solid.
The Missouri legend.
Connor McGovern out of Mizzou, baby, holding down that right guard position. And then I already talked about Jared Valdir. I just think that they're coming together and they're doing a lot better. So that is my take on the Broncos this week. What do we got next week? We're on the road at Baltimore. So
that'll be a tough game.
That'll be our first
first
road
real
game
test.
And we always kind of struggle at Baltimore. So any other takeaways from that game or questions about what I liked, didn't like?
I didn't get a chance. I was just gonna say I second your opinion on Philip Lindsay. He looks – I thought that was one of the preseason hype bunnies.
Right.
So everybody's going to talk him up, you know, undrafted free agent. It's easy to look good in the preseason. But after watching him Sunday, He's legit. I really think he can be good.
And yeah, I could talk a lot about, like, he's a lot of the, you know, Denver sports media and stuff that I've read on. It's a really awesome story too. He's a hometown kid, you know, went to Colorado and production was insane and didn't get a combine invite. I'm guessing just because he's small, he's 5 foot eight and 190. So, but obviously, like, he can run between the tackles, and
that's like literally me.
5'8", 190. Somebody sign that man, Travis.
He's probably built a little bit different,
to say the least. We got the. Is it safe to say a dad bod? You know,
a little bit.
But yeah, definitely excited. Our backfield looks promising. Royce Freeman, you know, I think he's third or fourth in terms of rookie runners. Third maybe behind, you know, like Lindsey is leading the league, and then there's Saquon, and then there's Freeman. So
yeah,
pretty,
I think that'll really be tested against Baltimore though. They've got a pretty good front seven.
Yes. Yes. So we will see how the O-line holds up there. I don't know. I don't know what the line will be. I would think that the Ravens will probably be favored slightly, maybe like 3-point favorites or something like that. Coming off that loss to Cincy at home. So,
yeah.
Yeah. What else? Anything else, guys? Anything else grinding your gears or that you just gotta get off your chest?
Nothing Broncos related for me.
All right. All right. Anything else in general, just from around the league?
Well, I think two teams we've already talked about. I don't know. I want to get your guys' opinion. Who's worse, Bills or Cardinals?
Yeah. So the Cardinals is actually what I was going to talk about, just because I was watching the Broncos game at my uncle's house, who is a Cardinals fan, and my cousins are Cardinals fans. So I'm upstairs watching the Broncos games, and they're downstairs watching the Cardinals game. They've got an NFL Sunday ticket, and I keep looking. I hear them kind of like talking down there, and every time I look at the score, the box score down there, it's just the Rams have scored again and again, and the Cardinals are laying that goose egg. And again, like, that's one of, like, I'm thinking, yeah, thank God we have Jared Verdier, and wouldn't they like to have him? But they just
– they're bad. They're very bad. As a whole.
I do think the Bills are worse. I'm going to say that. I think the Bills are worse. But, man, especially as a guy who owns David Johnson in fantasy, I'm sweating a little bit, you know? The P scale is rising.
They're not getting him involved enough. They're not getting him involved in the passing game.
Yeah, yeah. Throw the man the ball. He had like 1,000 yards.
Yeah,
I don't know if it's, you know, new coach, new offensive coordinator. I don't know if they have a new offensive coordinator, but get that man the ball. And Sam Bradford, there's something wrong with him this year. I don't know if he's just seeing ghosts because he's like always hurt. Yeah. But he's the least efficient quarterback this year.
Yeah, that last injury must have done it for him because he's not the same player he was in Minnesota.
Let's get the kid in there and see what he can do. It's Rosen time. Let's see him.
Travis, what's your opinion on again, the Bills?
I do think the Bills have a worse roster and are worse.
Yeah, I haven't had a chance to watch either team, but just based on the roster, I think the Bills definitely have a further uphill climb than the Cardinals. The Cardinals' offensive line is a problem, but I don't know. The Bills, just like, what gets you excited about the Bills?
Josh Allen can throw the ball 80 yards.
Yeah, to no one, but hey, he can throw it 80 yards.
He can.
Yeah. That's going to be, I think they're the number one overall pick, and they may not win a lot of games.
I'm just going to be like, for my survivor pool, it's just whoever's playing the Bills.
Yep.
and if you've already picked them, whoever's playing the Cardinals.
We'll see. We'll see. I think Bradford might get one more week, but if it's no better, I think you gotta go to the rookie. You traded up to draft him, and let's see. Did you see the gif of him yawning on the sideline.
Oh, no, I did.
They're getting skunked, and he's just over there kind of with his hands, you know, in his jersey, and this big old yawn, and then kind of this look of just kind of like smug, like ignorant. I don't even know. It was pretty funny, though. Pretty funny.
All right, up next is a special guest. Let's get the bear in the house.
And as advertised, we are welcoming in the host of the Queso Blanco podcast. He's big. He's bearded. He is recently married. He is Brett Garten, a.k.a. the Kodiak Bear. What is up, my man?
Oh, you know, I'm just playing Madden 2007 because, you know, I got to play football back when it was real and you could hit somebody and the helmet flies off. So let's go.
Madden 2007, people. This is happening.
This is real life.
Also, our resident Packers fan, I failed to mention. So,
go Pack, go.
Go Pack, go. So, how's the married life treating you, buddy?
Oh, it's great. You know, I'm just living life. My wife made spaghetti tonight. We canoodled for a little bit. It was great. It was fun. You know, married.
Wow, that is that's fantastic.
What is canoodling? I don't know if I want to know, but...
You know, I'll tell you when you're older.
I am older than you.
Two of us are married and two of us are not. But, alas, let's talk about the Packers. Brett, how you feeling about the Pack this year?
Oh, you know, they're undefeated right now. They're 1-0-1, you know. I've already predicted this year that they were going to go 15-0-1. So, holding real true right now. Real true.
That prediction was not made on this podcast, but if you can produce some evidence of that, then
it's
I will
somewhere.
Be...
There's a picture or a spreadsheet, maybe an Excel one. I don't know. My Google Docs. I don't know.
So the tie he's talking about, obviously the Minnesota Vikings traveled to Green Bay and quite a game. 29-29, the final in overtime, producing a tie.
Davante Adams had a great touchdown, a good form executed Lambeau leap there. It was real good, yeah.
He's focused on the Lambeau leap. This team tied. So how do you feel about that, Brett? What's a tie?
You know what? A tie is better than a loss. You know, you don't want to lose games. You really don't. You don't want to lose games. The more games you win and not lose, the better you're off for the playoffs.
Wow, that's a hot take right there.
Hot take. I'm fanning right now. You know, it's a little breezy in here, but, you know, I'm steaming up. I had heat stroke earlier today, so we're good.
Don't doubt it. Mows lawns for a living, if y'all didn't know. So let's open it up to some questions for Kodiak tonight.
All right. I'm ready.
What do you,
2 + 2 = 7.
What do you boys got for him?
Oh, I was going to ask if you saw, obviously the biggest play in this game to me that sticks out is the hit on Kirk Cousins that got flagged. And the explanation that we got after the game is that Clay Matthews lifted as he tackled him.
Lifted.
I want to know what Clay Matthews could have done differently, because when I was playing football, I was taught how to form tackle, and you wrap up, that's the first thing, and then you lift and send them backwards. Like, I don't understand what was wrong with
Look,
that.
let me tell you something here. Let me tell you something. That was a good, clean, executed tackle. And, you know, kind of harkening back to Tano Pasnio. I know you guys are Chiefs fans. You know, I live here in the KC area too. So, I mean, I kind of watched the Chiefs a little bit. And his penalty against, you know, Mizzou great Chase Daniel. Let's lift one up, 2007 Mizzou Tigers. You know.
Raise a glass.
Good, clean form tackles. Yes. Getting penalized is not good for the game of football. It's not. You know, I'll even harken it back to week 1 with Clay Matthews in that roughing the passer on Mitch Trubisky. That was good football. Good football. Clay Matthews is a beast. He's gonna get 17 million tackles a year. He's good for you.
Not physically possible.
All right, we lost Brett for a second there. The Kodiak is back. So just talking about that hit that Clay Matthews laid on Kirk Cousins there towards the end of the game. Yeah, I mean, as a football fan, and not even a, you know, a fan of that particular team, like, that makes me mad. I know, like, can imagine that being called on your team and how you would feel. I just
awful.
Don't
just we, awful.
Yeah, like, you know, we're talking about all this talk about the helmet rule going into this year and only seen that called a couple times, whereas this seems to have had a lot bigger impact.
Not being able to put your body weight on a quarterback. How are you supposed to tackle somebody without putting any weight on him? That's
right,
what I got to know.
Right, and again,
I mean,
it wasn't about that. They said that wasn't the rule this time, but I don't know. It just seems pretty ambiguous sometimes.
Very pass rushers have to be magicians. Pass rushers have to be magicians now. They need to alter gravity.
I think they have to vanish. They have to disappear in the thin air. They have to hit him, but then they have to vanish.
Hit him, you know, leaving about 90 degrees in the air and then just let go. And
I don't want to see the NFL turn into a flag football because that's not good. That's not good for the game of football. You know, flags and, you know, 4,000 points a game, just not good for the game.
I think the rest of it's all right. It's just the quarterbacks. It's just the problem with the quarterbacks. The rest of the
just
game, I think, is
those
okay.
Those namby-pamby prima donnas, those sweaty tryhards out there just think they're so hot. Slinging the pigskin all around. They got to keep it. They got to keep it together.
I agree to an extent. Actually agree totally with that. But speaking of hot and stat lines, we weren't talking about stat lines, but hot. Kirk Cousins, 35 of 48.
Yeah.
425 and four touchdowns. The touchdown
it's an illusion.
Adam Thielen, which is he on your fantasy
what
team?
A throw.
He is indeed on
so,
my fantasy
yeah.
team.
It's a, you know, it's a win-win, sort of.
No, not really. You know,
12 for 131.
What a player.
And a touchdown.
What a man.
That was an insane throw, an insane catch.
Yeah.
To force the overtime, right?
Yeah, I think so. I'm pretty sure. Yeah. Pretty sure on that one, yeah. I'm not 100%, but I'm pretty sure.
It was.
So pretty, pretty great game. Two ties already this year in the NFL.
Oh, we're going to get a tie every week. We're going to get 17 ties this year.
Two might be the most that's ever been in a season. Is that right?
Yeah, I think so. I think I heard that the other day.
Wow. Yeah. So pretty crazy.
Could this be the year?
Shatter that record. Yeah.
Well, I don't like the rule where they shorten it to 10 minutes. I don't think anybody, you know, I don't understand the benefit of that. We're just going to see more ties in the regular season.
Right.
I don't get what the upside of more ties.
You know what? Ties is a good thing for the game of football.
Another hot take.
Weird. It just, you know, it gets people talking. It gets people talking. Thinking about that. Good publicity is all publicity. There's no such thing as bad publicity.
That's fair.
The NFL needs a lot of good publicity right now with the helmet rule and the rough and the passer thing, and their prima donna quarterbacks, other than Aaron Rodgers, bless his heart, and Patrick Mahomes.
Thank you.
Yeah. Some homers in the house.
But people like Chase Keenum or
Case
Keenum or Denim Jacket.
Case Keenum, as John Elway introduced him in the press conference.
That man is definitely the most prima donna of all quarterbacks.
All right.
I wouldn't go that far.
Besides.
Tom Brady is kind of prima donna.
Hate the Bears.
You hate the Bears.
I hate them. I'm a Packers fan.
Yeah,
of course.
I'm saying that. It kind of came out of nowhere.
I'm going to rag on the Bears every time I get a chance to.
All right, Ferris. You got any questions for the Bear here?
Yeah. My question is about really the big question mark going into the game, and that's Aaron Rodgers. You know, finishing the game yesterday or finished the game last week, a lot of people thought he shouldn't have been in there. And he proved everybody wrong.
That's what Vicodin mixed with lots of painkillers will do for you.
Yeah. Speaking of that, did you guys see his interview at the end of the game? Like, I
that
just
was
glorious. Saw that today.
Oh, guys.
Where he looks like he was just high as a kite. Like,
what happened to your knee? I heard it. No, but like, what happened to the knee? I injured it.
Yeah, just like some of the answers that he was given, it was pretty funny.
It was a great interview.
It's a great interview. You just see his eyes. He's kind of just, I mean, he was You can tell he was chill. Well,
what's impressive about that is that guy just orchestrated an amazing comeback.
I know.
He can't even talk.
On one leg.
He can't even talk, but he can go out on one leg and bring his team back when the game was, by all means, it was over at halftime. That's crazy. The guy is
easiest play call ever. Just four verts every time, man. You got Aaron Rodgers and his miraculous Hail Marys. You send the ball downfield. You just gotta send it, man.
It just shows what miraculous arm talent he has, because he couldn't put any of his body into that thing. That was all.
You know, it's pretty crazy.
Tom Brady might have 17 rings, but Aaron Rodgers is definitely the greatest quarterback ever.
I cannot agree with that.
He's the most talented, but
he's got. He's one of the most talented quarterbacks of all time.
Get some more rings, then we're talk. But
yeah.
All right, my final question. I want to know about the run game and who's going to be their running back. I know Aaron Jones comes back. Is it next week or is he suspended three games four?
It was two games.
Suspension. Okay, so yeah, I see Jamal Williams 16 for 59. Ty Montgomery was 5 for 31.
Definitely not going to be a running back for very long. That is a gadget experiment. Ty Montgomery is way too small to be a running back. Way too tiny. Dexter McCluster is an example. Didn't work out very well. Did not work out at all.
Yeah.
But Aaron Jones, I think Aaron Jones is probably going to be the horse that takes it. You know, Jamal Williams is probably the incumbent right now in terms of percentages. All three are definitely going to get their looks.
I thought that Jamal Williams had a chance these first two games to kind of solidify and run with it, and he hasn't done that much to impress, at least. I know they like him in the pass blocking, but
honestly, I think a great example might be in just how the Patriots employ their running backs. Everybody's got their position, everybody's got their role. Somebody's going to catch it, you know, in one game. Somebody's not, you know, James White, you know, the PPR fantasy enigma. He's going to get you 15 points in one game, and he might get you 1.5.
The enigma.
So, yeah. That's how I feel about the Packers run game.
Well, all right, boss. Anything else on your mind not Green Bay Packer related?
I definitely want to talk about Ryan Connor McGregor Fitzpatrick and the fact that he's going to lead Tampa Bay to a Super Bowl.
Hot take.
Somebody send off the horn.
Definitely number one in our hearts after last week. But
in honesty, though, like I was listening to a couple places recently this past couple days, and you know, just listening to them talk about Ryan Fitzpatrick and James Winston, and it just got me thinking, like, who is going to take that starting job? Really,
it's got to be Fitzpatrick.
James Winston comes back in 4 weeks, but you know, people were talking, and he's like, Jameis Winston was the first round draft pick who you invested in.
Well,
you know, he's supposed to be the face of your franchise, but he goes off and does these dumb things, and he honestly hasn't been all that spectacular. He's been average to below average at best, in my opinion.
Well, he's just going to be this year, though, especially Dirk Cutter, who's probably on the chopping block if he does not do well this year, is going to play the guy who's winning him games. You know, like, I don't think he's coming out unless, you know, he just starts getting cold and they lose a few in a row.
You guys have seen Cinderella, right? Where the carriage turns into a pumpkin.
Guys, we've
seen this movie before. We've seen this. Fitzpatrick will go out and, I mean, he's a backup quarterback.
He's
a really good backup quarterback. He can go in and win you some games for a short period. But if you make him the starter, and I agree, leave him in until this happens, but I'm just telling you, it's going to happen. There's going to be a game where he goes from throwing 400 yards and four touchdowns, he'll go out and throw for 200 yards and four interceptions, and two of them will be pick sixes.
He gets hot. We've seen it before, like not quite maybe to this level where he's like starting the season on fire like this, but he'll have games like this. He can sling it for sure.
A good comparison would be Derek Anderson. That one season he had where he was MVP caliber. He was just slinging the rock like crazy.
Derek Anderson. I will never forget Derek Anderson, like, rumbling down the sidelines against the Chiefs in 2000 and I don't even know what year.
He couldn't be stopped.
It was just so slow, just rumbling down the sidelines, but went for, like, 60 yards or something like that.
I have a Packers hot take. You know, you were saying, you know, something that's not Packers related, but I got a Packers hot take.
Tell me.
Davante Adams is not a good receiver.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how hot that take is, but
he is a top 10 wide receiver in fantasy.
Fantasy and real life are different on a lot of levels. Yeah. But
In a lot of levels, but, you know, if you go with the pure stats, you know, some people just look at a spreadsheet and is like, oh, here's all his stats. This guy's a good player. Davante Adams, to me, is what, to you Chiefs fans out there, Demetrius Harris. Not going to catch a lot of passes, going to drop some key passes, but somehow or another, he's going to catch one that's just miraculous. He's going to live on in your head forever.
Demetrius Harris, interesting comparison there. But, yeah, I mean, Adams, he's the number one receiver in an Aaron Rodgers offense. He's big. I mean, he, you know, big red zone target. He's going to put up the numbers, obviously. But, yeah, I remember whenever he kind of was, like, rising, and I never really thought he was that good, but just because of the volume and, you know, like, he's not awful, but he's just there, and he's the number one.
Not good. You know, speaking of fantasy, I have a fantasy sleeper for you all today. I know last podcast, you know, Fish, you did this, so I got a fantasy homer sleeper pick for you. Everyone out there who's listening, you all need to go pick up Jordy Nelson.
Oh, no.
Jordy Nelson definitely not. About to go off. This is the turnaround game for Oakland. They're about to go off. Derek Carr, that's also another sleeper pick, but a lot of people
want you know Derek the Raiders Carr, just signed back Martavis Bryant, right?
He got featured quite a bit.
He did. Listen, guys. Jordy Nelson is taking all of Michael Crabtree's red zone targets that he had. Now he's off in Baltimore, Indianapolis, or wherever he's at, somewhere over there.
Seth Roberts would disagree.
But Jordy's about to get 4 touchdowns, 238 yards off 15 catches.
I don't know if he even played.
Predicting it right here. Predicting it right here. You heard it here right now. Kodiak Bears fantasy.
Do you want to do a water bet on that?
A water bet? What is a water bet?
Water bet is if it doesn't happen, then we get to dump water on you in some way or fashion.
I mean,
I throw a glass of water in your face.
I put too many specifics on that to do a water bet. I'll change it up and I'll say Jordy Nelson's going to get at least 15 fantasy points this week. And
I will take that.
15 fantasy points?
15.
Okay, I will take that as well. Paris? Yeah,
I'll take
it. Okay, so if Jordy goes for more than 15 fantasy points, you get to throw water in our faces.
I like that.
Yeah, and we'll put it online. How's that sound?
That sounds perfect.
Okay.
I love it.
Well, water bet it is on Jordy Nelson against the Dolphins next week. 15 fantasy points. You heard it here first, folks.
Brett's over there hoping that his fantasy opponent is listening to this podcast and picks up Jordy Nelson.
First water bet of the CES.
Also, I'd like to announce to everyone that I just beat Travis this week in our dual quarterback league and fun.
Yes. Victorious. I took the L in that league.
No, you're mistaken. I had like 200 points in that league.
Wait, are you the D the cream, like the one with all the
players?
That's
Landon.
Oh, so you beat Landon. You beat my brother. So that drops him to 0-2. Yeah,
I might have broke the all-time record for points in a week in that league. I'll have to go back and check the history.
How many was it?
195.
Oh, 195?
Oh, got 200 before.
People have gotten over 200 before. In fact, I might have last week. Oh, no, it wasn't last week, but I was pretty close to that last week.
Yeah, people are close to 200.
All right. Well, that will probably about do it for this last segment. Thank you so much for joining us, Mr. Kodiak Bear.
My pleasure.
Yes, good to have you. We will have you back for sure. And so I will go ahead and sign us off for the Kodiak Bear, the farmer, the father, and the fisher. Till next time.
Thanks for joining us.
See ya.
Peace out.
Peace.
Modric Samuel Adams, lad.
What are you, some American swine?
Yes.
Drinking your beer cold?
Honk, honk.
You Yankee Doodle dandy?